First John chapter number 5. First John chapter 5. Now, we are going to recognize the mothers again this morning here in just a minute. But I'd like to read this verse of Scripture. I'm going to ask you if you would please stand with me. Brother Johnny Miller, how about you coming up here with me? That's my father-in-law, Brother Johnny, right back there. I want you to read verse number 4 for us. 1 John chapter 5. Come up here to the microphone where they can hear you. Verse number 4.
For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Amen. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. Don't go to prayer. We're going to ask you to pray. Let's bow our heads and give a word in prayer. You pray.
Heavenly Father God, Lord, we just thank you for this day, for all your blessings. And Father, we pray for each family that's represented here today. Each mother, Father, just touch them and bless them as you can do, only you can do. And Father, we just ask you to forgive us of our sins, our shortcomings, and when we fail you. Lord, just give us a good day today. Help us, Lord, when we leave here today, it'll be good to say we've been in the house of the Lord. And Lord, we know everything comes from you. And we just praise you and give you all the honor and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Before you go sit down, it was his birthday yesterday. Other folks had birthdays too, didn't they? You thought you got off. Happy birthday. You may be seated. Now, holding that place right there, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The only way you and I will ever have victory to overcome the world is by faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Believing that verse of Scripture, I want you to turn back now with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 15. Verse number 21. It's been on my heart all week long this week. I cannot get this Syrophoenician woman off my mind. I've looked into this portion of Scripture and preached on this. I preached this about crumbs from the master's table. I've preached it dozens of times. It's not what he wants me to preach today, but it's along those lines. Verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. How is it she overcame the world? But by her faith. Amen. This morning, three quick points, and we'll let you go. Number one, we must recognize from these verses of Scripture a mother's trouble. Do you see her trouble? Let's see her request in her time of trouble. The Bible says, she says, Have mercy on me in verse 22, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. That was her request. Not for herself, but for her daughter's affliction. That young lady was vexed with the devil. Probably she was possessed. You may say, preacher, I don't believe that there's such things as demon or devil possession. But I beg your pardon. It is a great affliction which still goes on in present day America. I would say even outside of the fact of demon possession, there are addictions that maybe young people or old people will get on. Get addicted to drugs. God help. Get addicted to alcohol. Get addicted to work. Rather than serve God, want to work. Get addicted to money. Love of money is the root of all evil. You can get addicted to a lot of things. This young lady, she was vexed with the devil. She had a great problem. In the book of Mark, it even calls her it tells something about her that she is a very young lady. She's a young daughter that she has. I want to say to you, my friend, there's not one of us, especially to you moms, not one of you are exempt from your children having trouble. They have problems. We've all had problems. Every one of us are here today because we, at one time or another, have had a mother. Amen? And I want to say to you today, my friend, we've had trouble in our lives. The Bible's promised to us that every man born of woman, his days would be filled with trouble. If you born of a woman, yes, you're going to have troublesome days. This young lady has trouble, and she is greatly afflicted. But in her affliction, I see affection. This mother, she didn't just leave that young child as she was, vexed with a devil or in her addiction with drugs or alcohol or whatever it was that young lady was fighting back home. That mother had an affection for the daughter. I don't want to say I don't have a lot of use for a mother that don't love her children. Amazing, you can take a common dog and it'll love its puppies nowadays more than a woman will love her children. That just beats all I ever seen. That ain't no mother in my book that I feel that we ought to honor. Amen. But this mother has an affection for her child. And because of the child's affliction, the mother's affection is greater. You tell me, Mom, as much as you love your children, when one of them gets sick, when one of them has a problem, they come home from school in tears and something's broke their heart. You tell me, does not affection arise greater in your heart than it ever was to start with? There's something about the bond of a mother and that child in affliction when love grows more tender. This mother, her affection is now great for her daughter. But she can't do anything to change it. Hey, Mom, have you ever felt helpless? Oh, my youngin's got this problem. They've got this addiction. And I feel so helpless to change it. What can you do, Mom, when they have the fever that's out of control and burning? You can give them Tylenol. You can give them Advil. You sit by their bedside. You feel so helpless to change it. You want to pick them up and take the fever upon yourself, do you not? But it's impossible. So where do you go but to the Lord? This mother, she's now ready. In the middle of her request, she turns to Jesus. I want to say, Mom, the greatest thing that you've ever done or that you'll ever do is turn your children over to Him. Trust in Him. She's now ready. I'm telling you, you got to get to the end of your rope sometimes before you'll just turn them over to Jesus. Something, Brother Bobby, about pride. Don't want to turn them over to Jesus like we should. Something about our pride. But I'm telling you, He's the only one going to make a difference in your life when you turn them over to Jesus. And she goes and she says, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. She called Him Lord. She's beginning to seek mercy. And she even addressed Him as the son of David. Now, the son of David was a term that was only used by the Jews. David was a Jew. Jesus was a Jew. But this woman was not a Jew. She is a Gentile. She was from Tyre and Sidon. She was a Syrophoenician woman. She was an outcast. She had no claim on Jesus. Yet she called him Lord. And she sought mercy from him. And my friends, she called him the Son of David. Do you see this morning, point number one, a mother's trouble? Do you recognize the fact that this mother has trouble? Mom, just like you have trouble. You realize to this very day, I'm 38 years old, and to this very day, my mother still prays for me, and I still have troubles that she's concerned about. You realize that? Preacher, what are you doing? I tell you what, there's troubles that come into our lives, and what worries me concerns her. You may say, Mom, when your children leave home, that it'll get better. It'll get worse. Your burden will get worse and it'll get greater because they're going out into a world where your hand of protection can't be upon them. Just like Moses, his mother, had to put him in that basket and let him go down the river. She had to take her hands off of him and trust the guiding hand of God. There's a time when that has to be done, but that don't mean you take your prayers off of them. It don't mean you're not still praying for them in the midst of their troubles and all their problems. Point number two. We've seen a mother's trouble. Now we're going to see a mother's testing. Hey, Mom, you realize you'll be tested. Your faith will be tested. The Lord will allow that you might be strengthened and made a stronger mother than you were before. Let's read about this mother's test. In verse number 23, after she's made a request and after she's turned to the Lord, oh, how wonderful. Look, he answered her not a word. Makes me think of the word repose, the repose of Jesus. He was silent. He did not provide her an answer to her prayer. He didn't even address her when she called on him. Mom, have you ever felt that way? When you went to the altar, you went down beside the bedside at home and you began to pray and seek God's face, it's almost like you didn't get that answer. You don't stand up and brag about it and say, well, I prayed, but it didn't happen. I sometimes hear people in the church stand up and thanking God for the prayer that didn't get immediate attention. It's the one that did get immediate attention or does get that answer that jumps up to thank him after it's done. But this mother, Jesus being silent, could have thought he was unconcerned. Mom, just because Jesus is silent when you call on him, it don't mean he didn't hear you. It does not mean he's not concerned. It does not mean he's too busy for you right now because he's working on somebody else. He can work on all of us all at the same time. What does it mean? It means that he's putting her off to test her faith. To see if the very first time she don't get her way, if she'll keep serving him and if she'll keep calling on him. Now you and I both know people that they pray about something and it don't happen. And they want to take something and throw it and say, oh, I quit. It didn't happen. I didn't get what I wanted. My desires weren't met. I think I'll just leave the church and I'm unhappy. You've all met people like that complain and murmur against God when he doesn't meet their very first request of prayer, when it seems that Jesus is silent and it seems as if he's unconcerned. But Mom, he's not. Don't you listen to the devil. Don't you listen to the flesh and say he's unconcerned. He knows exactly what your needs are, and he's testing you and trying you to see if you'll continue to serve him no matter what. If I asked every mother in this church, would you like to have more, a greater walk with the Lord, more for your children? Guarantee you, almost every hand in this building would shoot up, and the ones that didn't, it's not that you don't want it, it's just you're too prideful to admit it. This mother's want more for her daughter. She's not satisfied with the trouble her daughter's in. She's wanting more. And when she calls on him, Jesus is reposed. He's silent. Second of all, look verse number 23. He answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. There's his disciples. You know the big shots. You can spot them in any church all puffed up. I'm here. We'll have a good service now. Don't they all want to shake my hand? Don't they all want to see me today? Let me tell you what, she didn't cry after those disciples one time. She never asked for their help. She didn't even ask them to pray, amen. You see, they're so lifted up in pride, they couldn't have got a prayer through anyway. They're rude disciples. You ever been at the house of God and just run across somebody that's rude? Yeah, man. Just rude. Well, you may say, I'll never go back to that church. Well, you don't go to church for people. People's going to treat you rude from time. Hey, do you think yourself above being treated rudely? Well, this old preacher don't. He gets treated rudely quite a lot. You just get kind of used to it, amen. And you just want to keep hanging in there, amen, and love that person anyway. I want to say to you, my friend, I don't think myself above being treated rudely. Neither should you, because if you do, if you think, well, I don't deserve to have any problems. I don't deserve to be disrespected. Hey, friend, who do you think you are? You're not the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not part of the Godhead. I mean, you think yourself above trouble? You're lifted up in pride, friend, and you're headed for a fall. And I'm telling you, he's going to pull the toothpicks out from underneath you. I didn't say rug because that's not what you propped on. You propped on the toothpicks. And they're going to come down, my friend. You need to realize when God brings you down a little bit that you deserve everything. Hear me. You deserve everything you've got and then some if you have trouble. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to go to death, hell, and the grave and then some. But Jesus has saved me. Do you think yourself above trouble? These disciples were rude to her. We may point our finger and say, ooh, you shouldn't have treated her rudely. But she didn't put herself above being treated rudely. Well, they hurt my feelings, and I'm waiting for an apology. I never saw where the disciples apologized to her. I didn't read it. I read these verses. You see them apologize? Nope. They treated her rudely and said, send her away, for she cries after us. I want to say to you, my friend, they some people that had rather drive people away than draw them to the house of God. I don't want to be a driver. I want to be a drawer. I want to attract people to the house of God and the things of God. It's amazing now. Well, I believe in driving them out. They look better going than they did coming anyway. That's not what this old preacher believes. I believe in love and the truth in love. I believe in love rather than in condemnation. Let God separate the wheat from the tares. If there's any driving needs to be done, let God do the driving. You do the riding, amen? I like that old sign there that said, if God is your co-pilot, you better swap seats. There's a lot of us thinks we're large and in charge. And I'm telling you what, we're large all right, but we're full of hot air. Amen, and we're in charge of nothing. Our balloon needs to pop. Amen? She was treated rudely, yet look what she does. She's still going to be hanging around. Look at the next thing Jesus says to her. Verse 24, he refuses her. He says, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, I'm not here to minister to the Gentiles. I'm here to minister to the Jews. And that is why Jesus, his first part of his ministry, he came into his own. Who was his own? The Jews. And the Jews received him not. But they've not rejected him just yet. They're in the process of rejecting him. And he's traveling through this Canaanite area, through this Gentile area. And he says, listen, ma'am, you're a Gentile. You're an outcast. You do not have a reason or a right to call on me. I'm sent to the lost sheep, not the saved sheep. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Do you know who you are? That's what he's saying. You're undeserving. You are an outcast. That's what he refuses her. Hey, Mom, you've been praying. He was reposed. Seemed like you're silent, testing you. Then you got treated rudely at church. You got treated rudely in the prayer room. You got treated rudely on your way out the door. And your feelings is hurt. And you're all puffed up. That's what happens when there's hurt. You take a big old cut, and you'll get some swelling and puffiness around it. God put a little salt on it, it'll heal up just fine. Amen? be stronger than it ever was to start with. He's refused her and basically telling her, hey, I'm not going to help you because you have no claim on me. But look in verse 25. Her faith, she was not going to be denied. She came and worshipped him. I mean, after he'd refused her, she worshipped him. Why, some of you wouldn't have never worshipped him after you were refused or denied. After she was treated rudely by the leaders of the church, the disciples, she come and worshiped anyway. She said, I don't care who's in this church. I'm going to worship him. What about that? Amazing nowadays people can't come and get over who's here and who's not here rather than come here for who is here. It's Jesus Christ. Hey, man, read on with me. She says, after she worshiped him, says, Lord, help me. What a call. Lord, you know what that means? Master. Called herself a slave. Said, you're the master, I'm a slave. Boys, a lot of people like to argue about slavery and stuff nowadays, don't they? Hey, man, I want to say to you, she said, I'm a slave. You're my owner. You're my master. Who else am I going to go to? The doctors can't help her. The nurses can't help her. The church can't help her. Your disciples sure ain't going to help her. Lord, help me. Now, preacher, wait a minute. She's praying for her daughter. Now she says, help me. I told you. She took her daughter's burden as her own burden. She didn't say, help us. She said, help me. Would to God we'd get our children's burdens upon our backs. We'd take them to the altar and leave them with Jesus. Would to God we'd take it that away rather than push them away and deny them. This mother said, Lord, help me. We're in trouble. Where else are we going to go? Read on with me. Verse number 26. Now she's going to be rebuked. I mean, she's still worshiping in spite of being treated rudely, in spite of being reposed and refused. Now, my friend, she's going to get rebuked. He answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread, that's the house of Israel, and cast it to the dogs. He called her a dog. A word in the Greek means a puppy. Called her a dog. Oh, would to God, if somebody said, preacher, I want you to go home with me today. I can't go home with you. I can't go home with the dogs. Is that how you feel about us? Well, fine, we'll just leave. We'll take our families with us. Hear me. That's what Jesus said to her. Called her a dog. Called her family dogs. She was not going to be denied. Though her faith be tested, I'm telling you, you and I wilt at the very first sign of a problem we've got. Oh, I give up. I've just had it. This mother entered four different times, four different reasons she could have left, but she wouldn't. She would not leave. All this has been a test of her faith. He's basically, as he calls her a dog, calling her unclean. He's calling her a vile, wretched person. Now, most of you might not do this, but when I get around the dog, and if I pit on him a little bit, and his tongue hanging out his mouth, his saliva or his slobber gets all over my hands, I don't go and eat right then. Because he's unclean, I figure. He's been licking places we don't want to talk about. And I'm going to wash my hands. Because he's unclean. That's what Jesus is saying about her. Not just about my dog, Casper. Talking about that woman and her family. Isn't that something? Last of all, I'm done. We saw the mother's trouble. And we saw the mother's test. But I want you to see thirdly, and we'll close, the mother's triumph. Let's look at her resolve. We've seen her very resolved. But she's not going to be denied. That old song, I would not be denied. I would not be denied. Oh, I love that old song, don't you? Look what she says. She says, truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. She said, yeah, I'm a dog. That's right, I'm unclean. That's right, I'm wretched. That's right, I'm vile. So is my family. Truth, Lord, I agree with you. You ain't never going to get help from God till you agree with him. On who you are, what you've been doing, you're never going to get help to God from God if you don't agree with him. He's always right, and we'll almost always be wrong. Amen? Truth, Lord. Yet those dogs, the dogs, eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. In other words, the little puppies that run around the floor there while they're eating at the table. Now, you might not let the dogs in your house, but you might eat at the picnic table sometime and a dog run up. And maybe just out of pity or out of mercy, you'll say, well, he ought to be eating dry dog food or something. I believe in feeding the dogs, but, well, I got a scrap of a hamburger here. I think I'll flip it over there to him and let him have something tasty to eat. And you know what? He's tickled to death. I mean, he'll sit there and beg for an hour while you eat ever tasteful morsel. He'll sit there and beg. Just give me a, I don't want a whole hamburger. I just want a little taste of it. I don't want a whole hamburger bun. I just want a little crumb off of it. She said, Lord, even those little dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. She said, you know what? I'm here by faith, Lord. How am I going to overcome this trouble? How will I overcome the world? Even by our faith, Mom. By our faith, Mom. Faith has brought her. Faith is ready to attain the blessing. And look what faith has given birth to. You moms, you've given birth to children. Look what faith gives birth to. Humility. You'll never humble yourself right till you have faith in Jesus. It just won't happen. She humbles herself and said, yes, I'm a dog. In other words, think about a dog come to your table. Maybe it's a strange dog. You know, one of the neighbor's dogs. One comes up and does things on your trees you don't want to talk about. One who chews up the stuff in the yard and dig holes in the yard. And you're ready to get the BB gun or worse and shoot him. Because he's a dog and you don't know whose dog it is. Say, man, you know what I'm talking about. And that dog sees you out there at the picnic table and here they come. Begging for something to eat. And you're like, I ain't feeding you. Who you think you are? Get out of here. Kick the dog away. Go get the squirt bottle on him. Squirt him real good. Yell at him, holler at him, poke him with the stick. Come right back. You know what? That smell, that attraction, the smell of that food's drawing him back. He's like, I ain't going to leave, do you? Give me something. That woman said, you may kick me away. You may refuse me. You may rebuke me. You may ridicule me. You may treat me rudely. I deserve all of that. I'm just a dog, but I'm attracted to what's on your table. It's the grace of God. It's the healing that my daughter needs. It's the answer to my prayer request. And I will not, sir, go away. Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs from their master's table. I mean, just one crumb from your table, Lord. If you just give me one crumb, you give me the leftovers. You go ahead and take care of the Jews. Take care of all of them. I don't care. But I know there's more of you left over. Jesus is an awful big Savior. And there'll be more of you left over than they can take. Just give me the crumbs. Give me the leftovers and I'll be satisfied. Hallelujah. For somebody, my friend, that would humble themselves and say, I'll just take a few crumbs. You know what I found out? Just a few crumbs is more than I can handle from him anyway. I couldn't handle the whole thing. But you know what? He asked for a few crumbs from him, he'd give you the loaf. Amen. Verse number 28. We've seen the resolve of the mother. Let's look at the reward of the mother or the result to the mother. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Whatever you want, sister, whatever you want, I'm going to grant your request because great is thy faith. You would not be denied. And you'd still humble yourself. Though we pushed you away, you come back. I'm going to give you the crumbs. I'm going to give you the whole loaf. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You see, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The only way, friend, you're really going to have victory in your life is to forgive, to forget, take trouble for the family to the old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I've tried it my way and it just ain't worked. I ain't satisfied. And what you have on your table is what I need. I want it. I've been through a lot of turmoil, a lot of grief, a lot of sorrow, a lot of hardships. But I'm going to humble myself in your sight, Lord, because I want help for my family. You know what? If more mothers would come to Jesus and turn to Him by faith, more daughters would have less troubles. I don't know what your family's in need of. Might not just be your daughter. Might be your son. Might be your grandson. Might be your husband. He can act childlike too. I don't know. Amen. You feel like you got him to raise too. I don't know what your need is, Mom. But God knows. He knows the burden of your heart. You can talk to Him when there's nobody else to talk to. What is it your family needs? Preacher, I just want to be a better mother. Are you willing to take less? Oh, no, I want more. That mother was willing to take less. I'll just take the crumbs. I'll take the rudeness. I'll take the refusal. I'll take the rebuke. She is willing to take less. And I found out every time God's ever spoke to me and said, do you want more? And I say, oh, yeah, I want more. And run the altar. God, I'm here for more. He'll say, will you take less? When I came to Spruce Pine, North Carolina, I had a job making in excess of $50,000 a year and pastoring a church on top of that. God said, I want you to leave that job and come to Spruce Pine and pastor this church. You know what? He said, I want you to take less in money. I'll be the more. He's been the difference. He's been the difference in my life. If you'd stand this morning to your feet, your heads are bowed. There's nobody looking. If you ladies would come to the entrance and just play softly, please. Whatever God has laid upon your heart. Maybe there's some fellas here as well this morning. You may say, you know that message, preacher, about mothers, that seemed like it was the mothers, but somehow it's touched me right in my heart about being a dad or about a need in my family, a situation. And preacher, I'm running to that altar because I want to speak to God about my need. He's got what I need on the table, and I want to take my place as a dog. I want to say truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. My family has needs. My husband has needs. My job, my finances, my situation, Lord, for my family, I'm coming to the altar and beg and plead with you. You speak to him today. He'd hear your prayer. The way you come is by faith. Don't let your pride hold you in that place, in that old pew today, and be chained and shackled there and not get the help God wants you to have and what it is you need in your life. You'd better mind him. Many are slipping out this altar at this time. How about you, friend? Preacher, seem like you preach right at me. Friend, I don't know nothing about you. You'd better come as he speaks to your heart and kneel on this altar and say, I need the help of God. I've tried it my way, and I am assured. And I know this preacher. He's the only help I'll ever need, the only help that'll ever solve the problem. And how today I want to recognize him in my life. I will come to the altar. I don't care who's looking. I don't care if I get treated rudely. I don't care if I drop my pride and wink my eyes out till the snot runs down my nose. I want a case of the can't help it and serve Jesus in my life and in my home. You keep coming. That's right. Keep coming.